Greetings this morning in Christ's name. The Savior and Redeemer of our life. You can turn to John chapter 6. And while you're doing that, I've been thinking of life and people passing on. You know, Olin Schrock just went to see his maker this week. As Marvin mentioned, about a year ago, Jeremiah went to see his maker, or meet his maker. And to you as a family, we're praying for y'all during this time. We have testimony after testimony. Of people going on. Some are young, some are middle-aged, some are in the prime of their life, and others are old. My wife's brother passed away just this year, my sister a couple years ago, our parents. There was a 62-year-old man in Paris, Tennessee that just passed 2 weeks ago from a massive heart attack. Life passes so quickly, and we go on to our eternal reward. That's not my message this morning. But as I think of life, living life, our life is made up of time. It's made up of small amounts of time. It's not just years or months or weeks or days, but minutes and seconds. And soon life passes away. And you wake up one morning and 50 years have gone. And you wonder, where has it gone? What difference did I make in life to my family, to my church family, and to our friends and neighbors? Did I make any difference? Let's read John chapter 6, starting in verse 3-15. Let's all stand for the reading. John chapter 6, verse 3. And Jesus went up into the mountain. There he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Or where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, or Jesus said this to prove Philip, for he, Jesus himself, knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a boy here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number of about 5,000. Somewhere else it tells us that he made them sit down in groups of 50. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as many as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. You may be seated. You know, as I think of our efforts and abilities in building relationships in life, building relationships in our families, church, friends, making memories, and in a small way, making a difference in someone else's life, I'm keenly aware this morning that my contribution is very small at the best. The title of the message this morning is, But What Are They Among So Many? Taken out of verse 9, thank you. The little boy had five biscuits and 2 slabs of fish or 2 fillets, and that was his lunch. It was enough for one boy for one meal. And Jesus asked, obviously he knew about this lunch, and he knew what he was going to do. He was going to take this lunch that was meant for one person and bless over 5,000 people with it. These people ate. They were filled. It says that they, in verse 11, the disciples distributed to the people, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would, and they were filled. It almost sounds like these people had more to eat than what was, well, it obviously was. There was more there than what they could eat. And when everything was said and done, there was 12 baskets of food left over. Now, how many of you have been at a meal when there was more food left over than what it was to start with? I have never been there. But this was reality here. Jesus took this food and blessed it. The people ate, and they were filled. 5,000 people ate of the 5 barley loaves, slices of bread. I don't think it was a loaf like we would tend to think of today. You know, our loaves are however long, about this wide and about that tall. It wasn't one of them. It was today we would probably call them biscuits or slice of bread. And that's the way I see life. That's the way I see my life. And I see your life that way. what we have to offer, what we have to give, is so minute. It's like Philip said, Simon. What are they among so many? What do we have to give for so many people, so many needs? Now, somebody has said that 200 pennyworth is more than all the disciples and Jesus put together owned on this earth. I don't know. I have no way of verifying that. But we do know that the 200 pennyworth, even if we could give that, it would still not be enough. Man cannot, by his own strength, give enough to supply the need for the people around him. He cannot do that. You know, we live life day by day. We make many mistakes. We make many failures. We occasionally get something right. Like I said earlier, before we know it, 50 years have passed, and we look back and wonder, what did we do? Have I lived in vain? You know, the needs are great. The opportunities are many. We may do what we can. But what are they among so many? There are people who, when they realize the utter insufficiency of their inability, they throw in the towel and say, "What is the use? I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to try to meet the need." We'll never be able to meet all these needs. What's the use? We can't even give every person a crumb. What's the use? It reminds me of a man, a boy, or somebody was out on the beach, and you may have heard this story before, but a bunch of starfish were washed up on the shore, and this little boy, or the person, was out there. He was throwing these starfish back one by one back into them. There was millions out there on that beach. And another man came along and said, "Why are you doing this? It's not going to make a difference." And the little boy never stopped, or the person never stopped. He said, "It made a difference for this one." He threw in a fish, turned around and picked up another one, threw it in. Made a difference for that one. It was physically impossible for that man or that person to gather up all these fish, starfish, and throw them in. Yet one by one, it made a difference. My challenge this morning is, why not give Jesus Christ our 2 fish and 5 biscuits? Why not give him that? And let him deal with the need to meet everyone's need. You know, when we give to Jesus Christ what little we have, our efforts, our strengths, our talents, our weakness, our abilities, our likes, our dislikes, that he can take and multiply it for his glory and meet the needs and demands that we are unable to meet on our own strength. You know, last week, Sunday, Joe preached on being real men. I wasn't here, but I listened, and I appreciated that message. Rising to the challenge in being what Jesus Christ wants us to be. To you men, today I'd like to challenge us to give to Jesus the little bit of manhood that we have and allow him to bless our life with the needed strength to do and be what he wants to be us to be. We have maybe just a tad bit of manhood, but what are they among the needs of so many? What little we have, let's give it to Christ. Mothers, you may think you're stretched so thin. Not just think that way, you are. I know you are. That nothing really gets done. Nothing really gets done, really right the way you would like to do it because you just don't reach around. You don't have the time nor the energy to give sufficient time or attention to each particular item that you would like to do or child. What little you have, give it to Christ. You may ask, well, what are they among so many needs? You don't have the strength, neither do I have the strength, or the ability to meet the needs of everyone. But Christ Jesus can. You know, looking at experiences in life, I can repeat what others have told me. But in actual experience of my own, I can only relate my own experiences. And forgive me, I'm going to probably be doing some of that. You know, as I look across this audience, there are many young families here with children. And probably the most glaring need is the needs of our family. Dealing with time, dealing with the busyness of life. Trying to juggle family, marital relationships, providing for and meeting the needs, the physical needs of the family, teaching, training, raising godly children, making a living, all this while trying not to become so physically exhausted that we crash mentally. And we only have 24 hours a day to do this. The next day it repeats itself again. How do we do this? Not sure. Other than to just simply give Christ what little we have. You know, we have to prioritize what is important. And I have just a couple points here, by all means, not an exhaustive one. But the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, that if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own household or his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. A lot of times we take that to mean provide, to work for, provide physically. But I think it also means to provide mentally and to provide spiritually for those of our own house. He has, if we don't do this, so we're called to do this. This is a priority to meet the need of our family. We are called to provide and care for those in our house. We are called to meet the needs of our family. But let's remember, we're not called to work 12 to 16 hours a day on the job to provide so that our children and our family can have everything they want. We don't need to do that. We're not called to do that. So that we can have all the modern conveniences and toys that we want. You know, when our children grow up, they don't remember that new phone they got back in July of whatever. They don't remember that. Let's provide for our family emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And realize that that money isn't the answer to all of life's problems. Prioritize time spent with children. You know, children are amazing in what they remember from their childhood. And adults are amazing as well because they so soon forget what they remember from their childhood days. The things that bring a smile to their face as they think back. As they remember, are usually not the toys, the electronics, the new car. That's not that brings a smile to their face, but it's those times spent with family, times spent with each other. Last weekend, because of Father's Day, I guess, one of my daughters texted me and said she reminded me one of her memories from home. Now again, I told you I'm going to share some of my own experiences, so bear with me. One of her memories from home was when we lived in Saffle, times were hard and money was scarce. She didn't mention that. She probably didn't even know that, because I remember when I was growing up and my mom faced some tremendous hardships on the farm after Dad passed away. And it was years later till I found out that there was money issues in the home. I had no idea. And our children don't need to know that. They don't know that, and that doesn't cloud their memories. What gives them good memories is time. She remembered the times that we played. Now, get ready. She remembered the times we played softball in the living room. Now, we didn't have an aluminum bat and a softball. No, we had a sponge ball and a little plastic bat. And I admit, it sometimes got pretty wild. We were pretty hard on furniture. And it got loud. But yes, that's the memories that she remembers. And I remember it well, too. It wasn't that we spent hours on end doing this, but it was just before bedtime, we kind of had our family time. And that was the time that I tried to play with the children. And, you know, at the time I probably had more energy than I do now, I know that. And yet, it's not hard to just sit down or to get in the children's lives and play with them. It's not hard at all. It doesn't take that much time. And they were well satisfied with a half hour. Might have been a couple times a week, I don't know. I don't remember how often we did that. I do remember a number of times, and even after we lived here and where we do now, I remember one night that we had a softball game in the living room. You know, a half hour a day, surely. What little we can give a half hour. It's going to make memories that are bonding the children to the parents. You know, some memories that I have of home, it doesn't relate to to money, because I didn't know money was a problem. But I remember going out and playing hide and seek after dark in the summertime, and we had a grand time playing together. I even remember sometimes that Dad and Mom came out and played. Those are some of the things that I remember. It's not whether I had a new horse or a new buggy or whatever I had. I don't remember those things. In fact, I never had them. Children don't care about not having a lot of money. So give them what little you have, and God will bless you for that. God will take that and multiply it in return to your life. Be patient. Another priority is be patient and don't keep score. You know, it's very easy to become impatient when instructions need to be repeated over and over again. You know, you begin to wonder if the mental capacity is lacking. You wonder, will it never get into their head? Will it just always shoot over their head or through or whatever it does? Be patient. It doesn't take long to just repeat the instruction, even though it gets frustrating at times. Have patience. And what little you have, ask God to bless it. You know, again, my experience, in our house there is a constant battle to turn off the lights when nobody is in the room. I mean, how hard is it to go out and switch the light off as you walk out? Yesterday, we were going out the door, or on the way out, and I was in the entrance, and my son was right in front of me. He had already put his shoes on, and he was walking. He had opened the door, and I said, "Son," and I pointed to the closet. The light was on. Nobody around. Nobody was even wanting to go into the closet. I said, "The switch goes down as well as it goes up. Did you not realize this?" Kind of impatiently. You know, contrary to popular opinion, the switch does go down at times as well, or should. You know, it's easy to blame others, to blame and remind others what they do or don't do. It's easy to blame others and think that what they do is way worse than what I do or don't do. You know, we have this tendency to keep score. Well, you did this and this and this, so it's not as bad as if I just do it one time. We shouldn't keep score as we come around from behind and pick up the slack. But it's easy to do this. There's a story of a grandmother. I don't know where I found this. It wasn't my grandmother. But the story goes like this. On her golden wedding anniversary, my grandmother revealed the secret of her happy marriage. On my wedding day, I decided to choose 10 of my husband's faults On my wedding day, I decided to choose 10 of my husband's faults, which, for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook that I would overlook, she explained. So a guest asked her to name some of those faults. Now remember, don't keep score. To tell the truth, she replied, I never did get around to listing them. But whenever my husband did something that made me hoppin' mad, I said, lucky for him. That's one of the things I'm gonna not keep track of. It's one of the 10. Do you understand? Not keeping score, forgiving. Love suffers long and is kind. We have a little love to give, but when we give it to Christ, He can multiply that to everybody. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endures all things. Charity never fails. There are many other points that I could share. Later on, I would like to sometime explore a message in worship. Worship is family worship and personal worship and public worship. These are all things that we bring to God, and it's a way that it's what little we have, we give it to Christ. So again, this morning, what little patience you have, what little love you have, give it to Christ, and He will be able to multiply it to meet the need, more than the need that you have. Philippians 4, verse 13. There's two verses in Philippians 4 that talk about God being able to meet the need. If I can find Philippians. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Remember, the little we have, Christ can strengthen you to meet more than what you think you can. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you have a need this morning? Jesus Christ can meet that need. Jesus Christ can supply that need. Do you have a need of more patience, more time? Now, I realize physically we cannot get more time than 24 hours a day. I know that. But as we live life, as we meet the challenges of life, there are times that God can give us grace to prioritize and to maybe just spend 5 minutes in a certain area. And God is able to take that 5 minutes and multiply it into tremendous blessings because we were trying to follow the will of the Father. What is this among so many? Ephesians 3, verse 20 and 21 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again the dead from our Lord Jesus, that in great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you and in me that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's kneel for prayer.